Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that kind introduction. Isn't this a lovely venue? It's so pretty, isn't it? It's a lovely day. I'm delighted to be here. So what I want to share with you today are the initiative of the World Health Organization in trying to help planet Earth become more age-friendly. And then get in a little later around the nuts and the bolts of that and see if we can't begin an initiative to support the work you're doing here in Oakland and Alameda County. So many years ago, the World Health Organization looked around planet Earth and realized that we are aging, not only in so-called developed countries, but also developing countries are actually aging faster. And so what WHO did was to begin an initiative of studying what are the elements, what are the domains of what makes a community or a city age-friendly. So they spoke with elders, they had thought leaders, persons like yourself, community leaders, everyone that they could bring into the conversation. And they worked from the ground up and developed 8 domains of an age-friendly city. And the intention, the philosophy was to try to help cities and communities represent the diversity, the green, the sustainability, the health and wellness and potential of all of its community members. So when we talk about age-friendly, we're focusing on the older adult population, but we're talking about persons of all ages. So the idea is to understand older adults as resources rather than social problems or challenges. Certainly there are special challenges and special needs of our older adult population. But the sense is just to shift the paradigm so that we're talking about older people as resources, as wealth in a community that contribute to that community and their families and their communities, and also in their economies. So there's some important trends that run parallel with the whole age-friendly cities movement. And one of them is that we are becoming more and more urban as a planet, all right? So it's an interesting phenomenon of millennials and boomers and older adults, but boomers in particular, starting to run parallel in terms of their values and their interests, and moving into cities. We're becoming more urban by choice. And so we've all seen this before, I'm sure, the WHO elements of active and healthy aging. But it's important to become familiar with these. Maybe take a photograph of this slide. Write down those elements, carry them around in your back pocket, have them close at hand, because these are the pieces and components that we really kind of want to think about and move to the front of our consciousness as we try to become more sensitive to what it means to be age-friendly. I could talk for probably an hour about each one of those circles, but I shall not. But just bring it to your attention so we can start to get sensitized about the pieces and the parts. So it's really important when we're talking about an age-friendly city to talk about the physical environment, what it looks like, how sustainable, healthy, green it is. Once you become sensitized to the physical environment that we all live in, you really start to notice how it promotes or diminishes your health and well-being, and absolutely the health and well-being of older persons. When we live in an environment, we oftentimes kind of take it for granted. We're not really sensitized. But I think a consciousness raging, consciousness raising, about our physical, social environment and the way that we communicate and assist each other are really essential when we're talking about an age-friendly city. And I'll get into detail about each one of these as we go along. So I'm a professor, so please forgive me if I talk about theory and analytics for just a moment. It's really important that our research, that our practice, what we do is standing on a firm foundation. And the gerontological theory that CAFE stands on, that much of the age-friendly work stands on, and that's my own kind of paradigm in the work that I do, is called the ecological model of aging. And please feel free to look this up on your own. It's completely inaccessible, very clearly stated analytic framework. And basically what the authors, Lawton and Mihimao are their names, what they argue is that the environment is an independent variable. It has a powerful impact on our quality of life, our health, and our well-being. And so if we can begin to twist the dials and manipulate and support the environment in a variety of ways, we will, in fact, do dramatically better. And the other piece that Lawton and Mihimao argue is that the environment is even more powerfully impactful on older persons. And so that is the underpinning, the paradigm of what we stand on when we're talking about age-friendly cities. All right, so let's go ahead and tap along here so that all eight. So you might want to take a photograph of this slide as well. These are the eight domains of an age-friendly city. We have them written down on the CAFE brochure over to your left. They're on the WHO website. They're kind of everywhere. But again, it's really important to kind of carry this in your back pocket on your photos and your phone so you can become aware of these eight considerations or domains. We want to look at all of these eight domains as we go around our communities and just ask ourselves, how are we doing in terms of outdoor spaces and buildings? And how are we doing around housing, transportation, and all the rest? And when you do your basic assessments of your communities, you're going to want to use these as guidelines and ask yourselves, if we survey our older adult population, we can ask them questions about these eight domains. And then when we start thinking of projects and programs, we can try to address unmet needs in these eight domains. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with each and every one of these, but as we break out into our groups, we can talk about different examples of how one can assess these and develop projects and programs. I will say that the projects and programs that you do around these eight domains, they don't need to be complicated or difficult or expensive. Some of them can be very small, humble, straightforward, easy, oftentimes no cost at all, no cost at all. For example, I'll give you just a tiny example. In Los Altos, we, as you know, became the first age-friendly city in California. A simple, no-cost thing that we do is we assess the lighting downtown that's burnt out or covered over by branches. So we walk up and down the grid every November after dark, and we simply note the lights that are burned out or covered by leaves or branches of trees. We write down the exact location of that light that's burnt out, and then we hand the list over to the city engineer, and we say the next time you do maintenance and trim the trees and change the bulbs, these are the ones that are burned out. And then after that, we go to Lulu's and have lots of beverages, adult beverages after that. So just to give you a little tiny example, here's the outdoor spaces of buildings. And these are some of the things that you might want to consider when you're looking at outdoor spaces and buildings. And they will be unique to each community. You know, every community, every city around the world will have different examples in each of the eight domains. But just to give you a sense of the breadth of what's possible in each one of those. So when you think about transportation, it's really important to remember we're talking about pedestrians, the walkability index, we're talking about bicycles, bicycle safety, public transportation, and hopefully automobiles last. If Google gets their autonomous car working, then we can add that into the mix. That's going to be a game changer. But when you think about transportation, remember to keep it broad. Housing. This is not news to any of us. Affordable, accessible, available housing is a real challenge now in our communities. And so we want to also think about, you know, how can people remodel and restore older housing communities? How can we think about different ways of coming together as communities in terms of shared housing, co-housing, that kind of thing? The whole long-term care picture is part of this as well. So when we think about housing, it's important to broaden our view on that as well. Social participation. If you've read the latest research on the deadly impacts of isolation, we all know that this is a key element of an age-friendly community, so that we reach out and touch older adults that find themselves isolated or disengaged and bring them back into our communities, or bring more resources and light into their lives. So social participation is a key element of age-friendly cities. We want to remember to be appropriate, competent, and respectful as we reach out and embrace the diversity of our communities. And when we develop our age-friendly models, we want to make sure that they're appropriate and that our diverse elements of our community are seated at the table as we do that. Another important part to think about in terms of age-friendly communities are the engagement of older adults in lifelong learning, the workforce participation, volunteerism, and all kinds of activities that bring older adults and the richness, the resources, the skill sets to the table. Staying connected, and this is more and more a challenge as high technology flies. I live in Los Altos, which is in Silicon Valley, as you know, and you know, we eat, breathe, drink the high technology world. And one of the elements that I've seen lately that I think is really valuable in our communities are the reemergence of kiosks. I started seeing kiosks when I was teaching every summer in Europe. And not only do they have the electronic kiosks, they have the old pushpin kind, where you can just put in a public notice. So I think it's important to have both kinds. I'm a big fan of kiosks, and I'm starting to see them now pop up around the Bay Area, San Francisco. I was there over the weekend and saw lots of very attractive kiosks. I saw some new ones in Palo Alto that I liked. So I think I love the idea of little neighborhood kiosks where you can sit around, have a coffee, see what's going on in the community, and have a little place, kind of a place-making experience, I think, is important for our communities. Yes. Health and Human Services, we all know the importance of that. So I think when we're thinking about Health and Human Services in an age-friendly context, it's important to understand that we're not just talking about getting the older adult population to the acute or chronic care facilities, but to bring these services to the community so that we have mobile, community-based health and human services of all sorts. One of the things we're working on is having pop-up clinics in our community that just are there for a few days and go away and then pop up back in, maybe once a month, popping up in our community. Let's go ahead to the next one. And I think it's also important to understand that it need not all be services to meet needs per se. One of the projects that we've just started in Los Altos, it's about 3 months old. It's called Club 55. And we've decided to create a nightclub for seniors. And so what we're doing now is every month we're having Club 55. You can come if you want. Our next pop-up nightclub will be November 19th, and it's mobile. We move it around to different venues, and the price of admission is an adult beverage or sparkling water or whatever you like. Some people will bring little snacks. We provide the snacks, some hors d'oeuvres and beverages. We have a barkeep. Usually it's one of our interns. And we have music, live music, and it's just charming and relaxing and fun. So check out Club 55. We have a website now. So the way it works, the way the Age Friendly Cities Initiative works, is that cities join a network that's managed by the World Health Organization. And the way you do that is you form a leadership group of older adults, of seniors, and other persons as well, community leaders and thought leaders come to the table and agree to take this on. And then what you do is you do an assessment of the needs of your community, of the older adults in your community. It can be a basic quantitative assessment, survey kind of thing. It can be more qualitative, like focus groups, or you can combine the two, at least so you have a current and comprehensive and diverse sense of the needs of the older adult population in your community. And then what you do, and you can use those 8 domains as guidelines, and then you develop a project or 2 or 3 to meet those unmet needs. In Los Altos, when we did our assessment, there were 5 unmet needs. Some really large communities and cities have scores of these. But it would be unique to each of you. My recommendation is to keep it basic and small, something you can wrap your hands around. And you can also seek external funding to help you begin to address some of these unmet needs. So to apply to the World Health Organization, you don't need to have solved the problems or met the needs. What it's about is an intention. We have the intention to try to meet these unmet needs and to become more sensitive and involved as an age-friendly community. So we've done our survey. We know what we need to do in terms of projects. It is our intention to do those projects. But in order to do the application itself, you don't need to have done the projects. Just have the intention. You submit the plan to the World Health Organization. The application form is fairly straightforward. My recommendation is you don't get in a big rush, that you be methodical, be thoughtful, be mindful about the process. You have a 3-year opportunity to implement your plan. The other added piece is that your elected officials need to be on board. They need to have a buy-in to this. So the city council, or the equivalent elected body. And also the mayor of each community, each city, needs to sign off on the application when it goes to WHO. So you know, we've done our research, these are our projects, this is our intention. And it's a good idea to involve elected officials in the beginning so they can understand and have a buy-in to the process. And that's an educational process. It takes that work on your part to bring them along and help them understand the value of becoming an age-friendly community. You submit periodic progress reports to WHO. I've visited the World Health Organization in Geneva. I can assure you there are lovely people just like us, very anxious to do good in their communities, to lift us all up, and they're very supportive. And I'll be visiting them shortly. I'm going to meet with my colleagues mid-November with WHO. We're going to meet in a conference, so I'll let them know you said hello. Okay, go ahead. Next slide. So these are just some quick little examples of some of the age-friendly things going on around the world and around the United States. Ireland, as fate would have it, has been assigned by the World Health Organization to take the lead in Europe on age-friendly city initiatives. I met with my counterparts and colleagues in Dublin, and they have a 9-person staff just working on age-friendly Ireland. It was very impressive. Beautiful offices downtown. They have developed this really interesting program of volunteer ambassadors to go around and check on seniors, and working with the local authorities and local police department to make sure they have a sense of where our seniors are. Paris did this right after that terrible heat wave. Believe it or not, the local authorities in Paris went around and identified every single elder who was living on her own or his own in Paris. They were so humiliated by the loss of life during that terrible heat wave in France. So it's possible. You can know where every older adult is living, every person that's at risk or frail. Another project is, as we know, transportation is a huge challenge for all of us. This is another project in Ireland that offers free transportation to medical appointments and other. They also have added recreation and service to the transportation program. And then here, I can testify to the beauty of Innis, Ireland. I was there doing a lecture tour and a visit with colleagues. It's a beautiful, beautiful area in Ireland. And what they did was they involved their students and their interns to go around the community of Innis and find out, you know, what are the needs, what are the unmet needs, what are the hopes and the wishes of their elders. And they pulled them together and began to develop programs to meet them. This is an interesting program taking place in New York City, where there's a carrier alert where you can register as an older adult, and if the mail starts stacking up in your mailbox, then the letter carrier alerts this special number, and someone will go check on you and see if you're okay. So it's sort of a double use of letter carriers. SAGE Services in New York are making services and programs and a welcome center for LGBT populations, older adult populations, and there's all kinds of special programs now for our LGBT elders. And here's an interesting thing. The city of Manchester has created a charter. And what the charter does is to argue that they have these six main principles and say that as a city, that we will support, encourage, and grow these values in our community that serve older persons. Independence, information, health and well-being, decision-making and voice, safety, security, and justice. So it's become a very special city charter. So the Center for Age-Friendly Excellence is in Los Altos. We're working with the County of Santa Clara and our colleagues and a core team to help every city in Santa Clara County become age-friendly by 2017. So we are rocking and rolling here and on our way. I want to recognize Diana Miller, who's been a leader in making this happen in Santa Clara County. So we're very grateful for your work. And so we're calling it the Age-Friendly Cities Collaborative Silicon Valley is what we're calling. And like I said, our intention is to present ourselves at the IAGG meetings in San Francisco in 2017 and say, we're here. And if we've done our work, all of our cities will become age-friendly, or at least be far down the road by 2017. And I guess in closing, despite the diversity of all of our cities, all of our peoples, we have everything in common in terms of wanting to provide the very best for our elder members within those eight domains. So I'd like to offer you our encouragement, our support, anything that we can do to collaborate or partner, you know, let us know. We're here, we want to help. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.